So Food Podcast with your host, as always here, Felipe Esparza, and the co-host,
Rodrigo Torres.
Rodrigo Torres, man. What's up, fool?
Yeah, man. Just chilling, dog.
Yeah, man.
Out here in this crazy world.
What's up, fool? I got my glasses on.
Hell yeah, man.
We have a new sponsor, bro.
Yeah, dude. Dollar Shave Club,
a
right?
A new sponsor, bro. Let me just, yeah, man.
DSC?
DSC. We have a brand new sponsor. Go out and support this company and let them know you listen to the show. Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. Great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. Don't have to go to the store and get more razors. No more cheap shaves. Rodrigo has been using it for a couple of weeks. What's up, bro?
Right here, feeling like a little baby's bottom, dog. Smooth, dog.
It does, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Your fucking face does look like a butt.
But what?
It's no. Smooth, though.
Yeah, dude, it is.
Like, but the old school, but they can just slap your ass. You know, like, it's so good, you could slap. You remember the old commercials?
Where were you in the morning, dog? But what was good is the Dr. Carver's shave butter. And I'm not even just saying it, you know, because, you know, we got a sample to tell the masses. But, I mean, I usually do the foam, old school, you know, what your dad or my dad used to use back in the day.
Briantina.
But it came out smooth, dude. And it has, like, five
it's
little
shiny,
razors.
Bro.
La Luna.
You got the butter shave, bro, like Kramer, like smooth.
Yeah, that's what it is, dude. And I mean, I use all the name brand razors before. I've been shaving for like, you know, 15 years. So yeah, dude, I like it. Smooth, dog, like a balloon.
There you have it. As one of our listeners, for a limited time only, new members get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver shave butter like for only $5. Free shipping, $5 free shipping. You could be shining, and like Rodrigo Torres. And if you get it, post it on our Instagram. Tag us. Let us know the hashtag Dollar Shave Club so we can know you got it. We want to know if you're shining. All right. Okay. After that month, the razors are just a few bucks a month. Your first box will arrive, and you'll get an awesome heavy handle razor, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. I think they got the shave butter idea from a lot of ideas were stolen from Seinfeld.
Did they just bust those recycling things? Those people from Arizona that got busted coming to Cali?
Shave butter. No hidden fees. Commitments. Cancel anytime you want. To get this deal, just join today at dollarshaveclub.com/fool. Look at that. We got our own slash now.
Tight.
To get this deal just today, join today, man. dollarshaveclub.com/fool. How are those razors, though?
They're good, dude. They're big. They have like five little razors.
Oh, so it's a razor with five. Not like last week we were talking about just a single razor?
Yeah, no. Dude, it has five. That's why it gets it all smooth, dude. And they deliver it right to your door, dog.
I'm glad you got it, bro. You got that sample, but I got to go buy one now. Look at the fucking the butter on my beard, bro. I fucking cut that shit with scissors. Some tough-ass scissors, bro. That shit was making me cry. It felt like getting a haircut outside by my dad.
Look at romper room scissors.
Dude, look at the butter on my chin, bro. It looked like somebody bit it off.
Look at slippers, dog.
I couldn't give nobody a what's up, bro.
What's down?
Because it looked like I was shedding skin right now, bro. I got gray mixed with black hairs. It was nasty.
This fool, dog.
I'm glad it worked out for you, man. But I know that when I cut the beard off with the scissors, I don't have a double chin anymore. It's hidden. I don't want to get one of those shaves, you know, like big people get, you know, like shout out to Don Hefty, not talking bad about you.
I know, huh? But
other fools, you know, who are not comedians. They make up their own little beard, huh?
That little line.
That little
little chin strap.
DJ Khaled line.
That only a fat fool can pull
that
off.
That Butterbean line. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Who said Bam Bam Bigelow?
You know what movie I rented? No, it's out right now for free.
Talk to me, dog.
Above the Mat or Over the Mat. Beyond the Mat.
That documentary.
Not Beyond the Mat. I'm talking about the wrestling one with that guy for...
We've seen Beyond the Mat.
No, the comedy.
But that was, it began with an R.
Oh, Ready to Rumble.
No, I haven't seen that.
Ready to Rumble,
What's
bro.
What's up with that?
It stars
Razor Ramon.
It stars Scott Conn.
Damn.
That's James Conn's son. You could watch him in the other movie.
Oh, so it's a movie about wrestling.
Bottle Rocket. Yeah, it's about wrestling, bro. But, oh, man, oh, if you watch this comedy, it also stars Lisa Kudrow's brother.
No. Or her. Mike Kudrow. Billy
her
Kudrow.
Her ex-husband, right?
Oh.
Who? David Arquette. Look, we have Lisa with the IMDb ready.
Fact check.
Yeah.
Also, David Arquette's in it?
David Arquette's in it, bro. And they play two crazy wrestling fans, bro.
Oh, wrestling fans.
Wrestling fans, bro. They're wrestling fans.
Following they everywhere or what?
Follow it, bro. Like the way that Skeets follows it, bro. From Bruce Handler. You know, the way the Fluffy and those fools, Alfred, all those fools follow it.
They go
know?
To WrestleMania every night. Like, you know, wrong. Man,
now that you're older, you have money, shit, you're going to WrestleMania.
Not
that's
like in
a dream,
the 80s.
Bro. The 80s, you gotta wait till you get the video all late. I was too excited to see the video, though.
Hell yeah, dude. Like fools in their 30s finally getting Jordans.
So, I saw this movie a long time ago with Philip.
So, it came out days ago then?
Yeah, years ago. It came out in 94, I'm lying.
Damn.
2004, probably. No, but it's an old movie, man. Probably 98.
Okay.
Man.
And what's so crazy? What was the bombing part?
When I first saw it, I remember I was there. I remember I souffle Philip, bro, on the couch right there outside the movie theater. So I was so pumped up, bro.
Broke his collarbone.
We were looking for another family to wrestle.
You tag know me in, dog.
Okay, so it's about a movie where this guy, the king, I will rule you. He's played by some fat fool.
Who, Jerry the King Lawler?
No, he's just called the king.
Oh, that's a character's name?
He's played, what's the actor's name, Lisa? The fat guy that played the king.
Ready to Rumble?
I don't know.
Okay, some fat guy.
The Samoan guy, you mean?
No, the actor, he plays the king.
Oh, Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bro, that was probably his first comedy, bro, or
really?
Something. Yeah,
he was not known by
it. And Diamond Dash is in it. Uh-huh. A lot of fools are in it.
Paige.
Paige. But anyways, what starts at the movie was that fool loses the belt because he don't want to bow down. He's a loser. He's always drunk. He's always drunk, but the wrestling match. He's exactly like, I think a lot of scenes from The Wrestler,
the movie
was taken from this movie because this movie was comedy. But then anyways, he loses the championship. He becomes a loser, bro. He lives in a fucking, he fucking jacks somebody's trailer and takes hours and lives in it. He lives in a trailer, bro, and a mobile trailer.
A lot of Americans do.
So those fools, they find there was not that much internet, I think, man. But they find another guy who knows where to find them. They're all big King fans, so they go look for that fool to bring them back to fight for the title.
Really, to get him out of the little poverty he's in or whatever.
Yeah, but it's funny, man. That fool goes, "What?" They're knocking his house. He's all loaded. He fucking closes the door. He goes, $30 for meet and greet."
At the trailer,
dog? Yeah.
Oh, fool!
So he charges him $30. For the meet and greet, and he's talking to them. They get him beer. The fool pissed him off. He goes, "Just say it one time. I will rule you." And he fucks them up, bro, with wrestling moves.
Shut up,
throws
dog.
Throws the fool out the window.
You're lying,
karate chops him. The fools pass out, you know, and they're all happy, bro. That's what they wanted.
And what happened? And then does it happen?
They ended up taking him over there to fight for the bout, but a lot of shit happened in between, man. Like, they go meet his wife, bro.
Fuck
and she goes, "Man, all he did was give me crabs. You want to see him?" His son shows up, and he has, like, fucked up braces. They're trying to repost this my braces. Loser kids, bro.
Shit, loser, you got crabs from your lady, dog.
But at the beginning of the movie, David Arquette is narrating, you know, man, wrestling been around for a long time. You know, we're talking about wrestling. And they show a lot of wrestlers, and they show even Mil Máscaras, bro.
Oh, so they go through the whole history.
Oh, yeah, man. They don't fuck around. They show the whole history of wrestlers with Mil Máscaras, you know, Mil Máscaras, the man with 1,000 masks, or like Gene Okerlund, you should say it. Mean Gene. Mil Máscaras.
That's badass, though, dude.
Yeah, but then they go. It's crazy, man. Like, one of David Arquette's dad, he's a he's like a local sheriff, bro. And so is his sister and the mom.
Oh, damn. All law enforcement?
That, he's the only one that's not a sheriff or a deputy. So they want him to be a wrestler for losers, this and that, dude. But a lot of the stuff that happened to and the wrestler happened to that dude in that movie.
I wouldn't.
He had a video game out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so the same shit, dude. He was
and he's a loser. Trailer.
Don't forget to do your push-ups, brother.
And yeah, it's crazy, man. It's a good movie.
And it's a straight comedy?
Oh, yeah. And those fools work. They work as a loser, as one of the lowest of the jobs, bro. They take out the shit out of the septic tank out of your outhouse.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, when you live up there, there's no sewer system in the mountains.
Dude, where I grew up, they had septic tanks until the 90s.
So they drain them, bro.
Yeah, there was a place those called Skunky Pumpers.
Those fools are sitting in the back of the truck eating a burger and shit. Yeah, that shit's drippy. They don't give a fuck.
Who gives a fuck, dog? You got to pump it out, put that big old hose
in. That's the movie I saw, man. You want to see a funny movie about fucking professional wrestling? Go watch Ready to Rumble.
That's badass, dude. I think I've seen the cover before with him and some other fool. I didn't know homeboy's son was an actor.
Scott Kahn. Anyways, Lisa and I, we were at eating hamburgers and breakfast at the, because Joe Diaz said to go there one day. Duke's? Is it Duke's on Sunset?
I've never been there.
Duke's is on Pacific Coast. Oh, it's a little cafe.
Oh, I know.
Hamburgers, but it might be closed by now. Yeah, it's called Duke's Diner. And a lot of people used to go there, a lot of rock stars. If you want to go some rock history, man, go to the Beanery in Hollywood and also the Duke's Place Cafe. They got pictures of Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison supposedly passed out there. So there's an old man there, right? An old man talking. Talking like that.
He was in the studio.
And then he's talking about James Caan. Yeah, and I ran into his son, Scotty. Like he knows them. It's just Scotty Kahn.
First name basis?
Yeah, so yeah, he's the next.
Oh,
same shoulders, yeah. Same big head.
That's right, the shoulders.
Except he looked more like Kiki Hernandez from the Dodgers. What's up, fool? We're moving along here, man. We got upcoming shows coming up, man. Tell them, bro.
There you go. Upcoming shows, ladies and gentlemen. This weekend, the last weekend of the Festival of Laughs tour with Mike Epps.
The last weekend of the festival for us.
Bruce, yo, Ricky man, Smiley. Can I have this book? Tell the story, dog. And some more. Tonight, April 21st in St. Louis, Missouri, and Saturday, April 22nd in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. May 5th at the Calusa Casino with Rodrigo and Larry Bubbles Brown. Tickets available at CalusaCasino.com. May 18th through the 21st at the Tempe Improv. May 25th through the 28th at the Irvine Improv. June 1st through the 4th at the Arlington, Texas, at the Arlington Improv. Check out FelipeSWorld.com/tour for all the show dates and the rest for the rest of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, now the shout-outs.
Shout-outs, people. Everybody wants a shout-out. You're going to get your shout-out. Oh, man. Also, last week, we were talking about people we were saying retail is dead, and sometimes, you know, you give us shirts, and we don't wear them because they're ugly shirts, or we don't like the way they fit. Like right now, but there's an exception, though.
Oh, yeah.
If the shirt is cool, like the shirt is cool, like it don't have your logo all printed up, you know, like just says Massive or Coke or whatever.
Address of the business.
If it looks cool, I'll wear it. Like I do wear like the chef one I got, you know, from the bakery place.
Yeah, yeah. La Flor del Jalisco.
Yeah.
I got that one.
Yeah, that one. And
a badass little skull.
And also somebody else gave me another shirt that was real cool. Oh, the fucking Mariachi Man sister.
Yeah, okay, yeah, hell yeah.
And Ronaldo, you're wearing Death March, bro, by a guy who makes more merch for himself than you.
Hey, I can say this is a free shirt. They're a good band, dude.
But you took that shirt, man, when you were picking up your merch, huh?
No, he sent it to me the day after I met him over at the Ice House.
Oh, speaking of merch, he gave me a cool T-shirt, too, bro.
Which one?
He gave me the one of Baby Drake.
Oh,
nobody has that shirt.
He's the one that gave it to you? Well, oh, fool.
He had the silk screen for it.
I thought you got that shit at Venice or something.
No, man. I'm one of a kind. He said that.
I never seen that one before.
Two of a kind.
Lucky.
Because Willow made one. Willow Smith.
Oh, she's the one that had it.
She made one for Drake because it was her birthday and shit, so she wanted to wear the shirt. So I got the second shirt.
That's badass. That's, for some reason, I thought you got it at Venice, dude.
You think people collect shirts?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Like vintage shirt, like they pay $100.
Dude, I heard this fucking Smith shirt went for like almost $1,000, dog. Some fool, the fool from, I forgot who bought it, dude. The real ones, though, like the ones that came out when they printed them back in the 80s.
That's why I hold on to my Dodger Stadium Kiss Army shirt.
That's a badass shirt. I've never seen that one before.
That's badass, huh?
Yeah, that's a badass shirt.
There's other ones, but mine is the OG. It still has a date and the concert in the back.
I didn't go with you to that one store where fucking, dude, they had, dude, Van Halen shirts for $240, dude. But they're kind of like the weaker ones, dude.
Yeah, you're talking about that place in Little Tokyo?
Yeah, nah, no, over there off of Melrose.
Okay, what? That place.
That place.
Okay, that place, some... that little store has a little store in Little Tokyo, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they sell all kinds of different shirts.
Yeah,
and they had those vintage Levi's for $500.
Oh, okay, hell yeah.
People will pay for them, huh? I guess making $75,000 a week, man, paying $500 for a pair of jeans ain't shit, huh?
Oh, hell no. Killing that piggy bank.
Man, making that $75 a week and you still live in an apartment?
Gotta cut the cost, Felipe Esponza.
Gotta do something.
Right.
Okay, shout-outs.
There you go.
Anyway, so here we go, man. Shout-outs to everyone who reviewed us on iTunes. Happy/I Need It, who says, we have an awesome show. Thank you, bro. Or woman, thank you. Monkey Breath, a.k.a. Fabian Z from San Antonio. Ship Breath. A California 2002.
Orale.
Orale. You know, man, when your name is El California 2002, that means you figure out social media in 2002, eh? Who says I'm getting better and better as a host? He says I'm getting better and better as a host, eh?
Fuck. Is he like from National Institute of Hosts over there? Or what's going on here?
He's the MC reviewer.
He has a nationally syndicated show. You guys can hear it on.
You know how it is, man. You know, sometimes, man, we come in ready for the show, but sometimes we drag our feet to do this show. Sometimes, you know... We try to get here at noon, but we get here late. Our engineer with the wheels of steel over here on time right here. Big time Cardinal fan.
Hell yeah. Give it up for Aaron.
Jack Clark, baby. Will Clark. I don't know if I...
Ozzie Smith, fool.
Ozzie Smith. But there's some other... There's been a lot of good ones.
Lou Brock, right?
Lou Brock. I'm lying. I never had his card.
I had his card.
I had... you know whose card I had? I had the guy that used to play... He used to pitch for the Cubs and then the Cardinals. Lee Durham? No, he's a baseball. Okay. Lee Smith, baby!
Damn.
Underrated. That guy's a beast, bro. He's a badass fool.
I've heard that name in a long time.
Time, bro. He was like Dave Stewart before Dave Stewart, but even better, man. I guess, man, have they moved the plate closer?
No, I think it's just higher, right?
Lower.
Oh,
but now
damn.
There's a time limit on how long you sit on that mound.
Mess around, get a buck.
30 seconds.
30 seconds?
So before fools will be up there texting. Nah. They'll be up there daydreaming, man.
They're just messing with the batter, though, right?
Yeah,
what they
man.
Were doing? They want to keep the game going?
Putting oil into the ball.
But back then when the games would last like forever, dude.
Back then, bro, they hit you in the head. You're not even wearing a helmet. Hackensaw. Hacksaw from Buffalo, New York, who listens to us and Joey Diaz Church of What's Happening
right
now almost every day, says the show helps him smile when he feels like laying some fool out.
Hey, dude, that's a good thing, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. I'm glad this show is very therapeutic for a lot of people.
Hell yeah, dude. Throwing those rights.
We've had people on this podcast meet other people.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, man. Cool. Citric.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hooked up with Marisol Montes.
Happily ever after.
Happily ever after, bro. Hollywood dream couple.
Power couple.
You know, sometimes you need somebody, man, like, to push you along, bro. Like me, man. I might not graduate from high school, but, hey, my wife has a master's, so, hey, what do I need a brain for? My new bit. Let's cut that off the podcast. I thought about it earlier, bro. But I forgot about it. Then it came right now. I said, you know, exactly, man. You know, why you need a fucking diploma, man, when your wife is a doctor? Right? You know what I mean?
Put in the box.
Like,
eh?
That's how men work, you know? Like, women marry for money. Men marry for brains. Yeah, bro. If it wasn't for her, dog, I would have never got this mortgage done, bro.
You're killing me, fool.
Sometimes, man, you got to, like, figure out what you want to marry, man. Like, if you're a guy... that likes food, but you know, man, you can't cook for shit. Get yourself a girl who just fucking graduated from chef school.
The Culinary Institute.
The Culinary Institute, man. I knew a couple of cholos that joined the Culinary Institute, bro.
Now they're cooking.
On Folsom.
Okay, chow.
Those motherfuckers. It's funny, man, how a guy, I just picture, you know, a guy who used to cook in prison his whole life, but just say 5 years cooking hardcore in prison, bro. Slicing tomatoes. Fucking sous chef. Right? And now he has to try to get a job at Bobby Flay restaurant. You know? And it's going to be hard for him to cut tomatoes, you know, because this fool used to work with a knife hold out to a chain to a wall. He's used to slicing tomatoes with a fucking knife that hooked up with a chain connected to a fucking wall.
Limited space.
So now this fool has a free time, bro. He's not used to having a knife that he can fucking stab somebody with now.
You're going to be in there dancing.
This fool lose it, dog.
Too institutionalized.
I never thought about that, bro.
Hey, fool. But you got to get adjusted.
Your hand gets used to it, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. It'll be just got to retrain your brain, or before you know it, dude, you'll get
but
used to it.
But think about it now, man. He'll be working in a restaurant, one motherfucker bumping into him. He's used to working in the kitchen where nobody bumps into him, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody tells him, hey, hurry up, lazy motherfucker. I'm going to put a dick in your ass. Because people talk shit when they work in the fucking kitchen, dog. You never work in a fucking kitchen, dog. It gets fucking brutal, God. Bro. Brutal. You're fucking cutting chicken and the fucking paisa from El Salvador. No, they got the rice ready. Pichi, cerote, me apuesta con el pinche arroz, cabrón.
I'm just fucking picturing the dick in the ass.
I know, dog. It's your favorite part, dog.
Fuck that. I'll tell, dog. I've never worked in a kitchen. You did, though, huh?
Fuck yeah, bro. Ivan, bro.
I was just a server, a waiter, dog.
Sweat from his eyebrows, dog.
I remember all those bites of being in there grabbing each other's asses, dog, all the time, bro.
Yeah, man. I didn't play that shit, dog. I had a job with a thug grabbing asses. I quit the next day, bro.
There was a fight in there one time. It was funny, dog. Some fool got hit with the cazuela, dog. I swear, fool.
Yeah, man. Once you were, people don't know that a lot of immigrants,
you're a fool,
we
dog.
Play a lot of grab ass, eh? Like, those fools will get behind you and hump you, bro.
Ugh, dude, they used to torture the new fools, dog. But that's that fool that snapped on one, dude. It was funny.
Hell no, don't play that shit, dog. All right, man.
Took it to the head, dog.
We have a guest today, bro.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming. Oh, man.
What's up, fool?
Shout out to Mr. Mike Epps for hooking us up on this tour.
Yeah, dog.
Oh, man.
I have this book.
Shout out to Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy.
Rest in peace.
Darkness.
By the way, I was reading the Charlie Murphy biography that he wrote.
Oh, yeah.
It's that book I took from the Addison Improv. I didn't take it, but they have a lot of biographies there that comedians leave behind. And this was the actual book that Charlie Murphy left behind. So he touched it, and he left it behind. So I grabbed it. And it was that little guy from, hey, they're apples, peaches, from the Improv in Addison.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jeff,
mm-hmm.
He always says peaches. That fool, he let me have it. He said he already read it. He said it was a good book. So all those books that he has, he already read. So I could pretty much pick whatever I want. So I took the Charlie Murphy. And I was reading it. I stopped reading it. His father got killed by his girlfriend, bro.
Right, this guy.
And he was a New York Port Authority police. And now she would have been charged with killing a police officer, and would have been in prison. But back then, man, if you kill your husband or your wife or your girlfriend, it was a crime of passion.
Yeah, it's a crime of passion when it just happens and you don't have time to think. You just do it out of emotional rage. But
he was sleeping, though. I mean, she had time to go look for the knife. Yeah, well, anyway, so he passed. His father passed away when he was like 10 or 12 years old. Sad. And then Charlie Murphy passed away last week. So I was reading the Charlie Murphy book, and Charlie Murphy talks about being in the open, like going from being on the Dave Chappelle show to having to perform on stage for the first time. So when he decided to perform on stage, he called up Neil Brennan. And he described Neil Brennan as, yeah, man, he's like some hippie guy. So Neil Brennan and Darnell Rollins, Ashy Larry, they go to a club and they He writes a couple of jokes, does 5 minutes, and he performs it, and then he does well. So the next day, they call him up again, and he goes, man, where are we going again? Oh, we're going to do it again. Again? I'm out. I'm going to give that shit. I'm going to wait another 6 weeks. Charlie Murphy's going to wait another 6 weeks. You know, when you're a new comic, you don't know that you got to go there the next day.
Yeah, you got to keep on going.
No, you're thinking like it's something that you're not. Like a lot of comedians start off, they go up once, they don't go up again for a month. You know, you're like really testing the waters. So they didn't give him a chance to test the waters. The next day, he ended up going again to another show. So they were performing 4 shows a night, 5 shows a night. So Dave Chappelle took Charlie Murphy to open for him on his tour. So he's doing 5 minutes up front, 10 minutes, and people are just yelling, Brand. They're yelling, Charlie Murphy! You know, I'm Rick James, bitch! And they're yelling all that shit out through his show. Darkness! So after that tour, he went on the road with Bill Burr and Darnell Rollins.
Their little tour?
And it was the I'm Rich, Bitch tour.
Hell yeah.
Or yeah.
Because that's happened after that skit blew up.
Yeah, so Bill Burr probably closed in and Darnell was featuring and Charlie was going up. And there was a moment in the book where Bill Burr tells Charlie Murphy, man, he goes, isn't it crazy? He goes, what? It's the other shows that are sold out. Because, you know, he didn't, I guess, but at the time Bill Burr was not doing like big time theaters, you know?
Right, so not all over the country and shit.
Yeah, not all the country, so. They were all sold out, and Charlie Murphy was figuring it out that he has a little notoriety. So he started doing the tour with those guys. You know, the tour ended, and then he gets a call from Mike Epps.
What's up, Charlie?
And this is the part of the book that I'm telling Mike Epps inside the green room, you know. Yeah, Mike Epps. He goes, I'm reading Charlie Murphy's book. You're in it. What? It could be Mike Epps. You're in it, bro.
In the book?
Yeah, you're in it, man.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh. You're in it.
Inside there, does the book have pictures?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of pictures. Watch. Check out. I got a lot of pictures for you.
And no pictures of me?
Nah.
But he talks about me, right?
He actually talks about you. He says that you took him on the road.
I did.
You did take him on the road, Ed. He said that, man, it was his first time performing to a 100% black audience.
In Cleveland. Yeah, I got a Def Jam audience. These motherfuckers ain't no joke. They'll tell you how they feel. That's how it went down.
That's how it went down. So we're talking to Mike Epps, who is a total cool dude.
Yeah, and he's like, looking at the book as we
see. He's looking at the book, man, like he's enamored.
Yeah.
Was that the right word?
Enamored.
Enamored by the book, you know? So you like the book?
Man. And he gives you the little eyes like the little cat from Shrek. Can I have this book?
Hell yeah, you can have it, bro.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, man.
And he chilled out for a little bit,
this
huh?
This is actually, Charlie Murphy gave this to the manager of the club, and so it was actually Charlie Murphy's book.
I'm going to save this book.
Yeah, so he has to keep the book, and we gave it to him, and we ended up hanging out with him. And so Charlie Murphy on the book writes that he bombed hard.
Hell yeah, dog.
Hard. Like, it was in Cleveland. He bombed hard, bro. Like, that was his first bombing. Because he's used to performing with a white audience, right? So he bombs hard. So it's like 2 in the morning. He's crying. What's up?
What's up?
We're telling this Charlie Murphy story I read in a Charlie Murphy biography book. So he bombs Charlie Murphy. It's opening up for Mike Epps, and he bombs, bro, in Cleveland hard. And he says in the book, man, they're yelling out stuff, man, like, man, you ain't Eddie. Hardcore.
How dare you come to Cleveland
black
without
audience
Eddie?
Don't give a fuck up. They don't Hell like no. you, huh? Look at him in his ripped shoes. So he bombed hard. He calls out Eddie Murphy, 2 in the morning, man. I just got booed off stage. Give me some Charlie Murphy.
Man, I just got booed off stage, Eddie.
Yeah, he got booed off stage. Man, what the fuck called me for that shit? Who think you are? He goes, everybody, you think you're special? I got booed off stage. Richard Pryor got beat off stage. Red Fox got booed off stage. I'm naming all these names. You ain't motherfucker. Don't ever come here again with no bullshit like that.
At 2 in the morning.
At 2 in the morning. So, amazing. So he bombed the next day. It was St. Louis. Bombed again. So it was like he bombed on the third night. He said, man, if I bomb tonight, I'm going to just quit stand-up comedy. So he tells Mike Epps, and we're telling Mike Epps, that, man, I don't know about tonight, man. So Mike Epps tells him that you have to connect with the audience. He goes, you just can't go up there and shit all flashing. Because Charlie Murphy was going all flashing. Bro.
Diamond rings
and
shit.
Yeah, diamond rings, diamond neck, his chain, hat. He's going up there, bro. Like, he's been killing for 20 years, dog.
Didn't he set himself up, too,
saying? He set himself up.
That he was the LeBron James of comedy?
Oh, yeah. He had did an interview before the show in Cleveland. He said, yeah, man, I've been doing comedy for, like, 5 years. So, yeah, man, I'm not really headlining the theaters. I'm the LeBron James of comedy.
Huh.
That's a big claim.
So then I said, well, you quit high school to do comedy? Nah, I was a funny chat boy. So we're telling Mike Epps that. He goes, what? He said, I'm the LeBron James of comedy.
Man, he shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, so we gave him the book. Yeah,
who's LeBron James?
He's this guy that shoots like Kobe and slam dunks like Michael Jordan.
Cool. I like shoes.
He has a mean headband game.
Mean headband game, man.
Hell
yeah. So we're in the last 2 days, though. I've been touring with Mike Epps.
Oh, sweet.
Mike Epps, Bruce, some more. It's funny. I never like to bother them, you know, in the dressing room, but I do say hello. But I got to hang out with all of them, everybody on the tour by themselves, you know, like we were hanging out with some more for about an hour at the airport. We all missed our flight.
Her and Wayne.
Her and our manager, Wayne. But yeah, man, so what's up, fool? Enough of us.
Yeah, enough.
Enough.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We got Nico Santos here, bro.
In the house.
Comedian, bro.
Extraordinaire.
Hell yeah. We don't know where he's from. Some place they from Barcelona. Other places are from. He's from the backwoods of the Philippines. Other people say he's Rex Navarrete's nephew. Everything's out there. We don't know it all, bro.
Listen, Google thinks I'm a 24-year-old Spanish EDM singer. I'm like, thank you. But no, I am from the Philippines.
Oh, really?
I am. Born and raised in Manila.
Oh, tight.
And then I moved to...
Thriller from Manila.
Yeah, that's right. And then when I was 16, I moved to Oregon because apparently my family likes white people, so... Just, let's move to the whitest place on earth. So we moved to Oregon and then, you know, San Francisco, and I'm in LA.
Is Portland a big Filipino community?
No. Very few Asian. Literally, I went from going to like private Catholic school in the Philippines, like since kindergarten to like freshman year of high school. Then I got thrust into the American public school system, and there were no Filipinos. And me and my brother were the two Filipinos in school. And yeah, I think there were a lot of Vietnamese people in Portland, Oregon, just randomly, but we were the only Filipinos. One black person.
That's always sad. Yeah. To be the only of that minority. Whether like in my English class, we had white Paul. he's the only white boy Paul. In our class. Blue eyes, blonde hair, freckles. So whenever there's a talk about something. You know, the white man did this. The white man did that. My teacher was very, very fucking outspoken. You know, he was from Kent University, bro, where that fool got shot. Mm. Fort Dade in Ohio.
Like 68, right?
Gotta get back to
down. That's my jam.
So, yeah, man.
Bob that in.
Yeah. So, it was Paul. Did that happen to you a lot in your...
Well, like, they didn't know...
World War II, they might
people,
to you?
People in Oregon really just didn't know what to make of me. They're just like, you look Chinese, but your last name's Mexican. I don't understand this.
Cool, though?
They were... I mean, I guess, you know, I went... when I was living in Manila, I grew up, I was a huge dork, huge nerd. I collected comic books. I played Dungeons & Dragons, all that shit. And then when I moved to the United States, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to reinvent myself because because I don't want to be known as a dork. I'm going to reinvent myself and I'm going to change myself. So what did I do? I joined the drama club. That's what you do. So I like joined the, I was like super active in like theater and choir, and I sort of found my band of freaks in high school to like hang out with, and they were cool, but high school was not the easiest place for a little gay boy like me. So.
Were you fully gay in high school?
I wasn't out in high school, but everybody fucking knew. I mean, I'm just like, hello.
The Barry Manilow just came out, but I didn't know.
76, he just came out. You took your time. Yeah. Took your time, but you know what?
A couple lifetimes, huh?
Coming out is a very personal journey, so more power to him. Yeah.
I gotta tell Isaac that because his name was Lola. He was a showgirl. Barry Manilow, but you know, a Jewish gay man.
Yeah, he looked gay all the time. Come on.
I know. I mean, nobody was really. Like, right, come on, right. It's come one of those on, Barry. Where he... Everybody knew.
I'm surprised he was married for like 30 or 40 years or something like that.
To a woman or to a man? Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah,
so was Bruce Jenner. That.
Or Mrs. Bruce Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Usually no, though, huh? It's like, you know, you don't go out there and say it, but, you know, there's a guy in high school that was that way.
Yeah, well, listen.
And then came out, married.
Gender expression is a very varied, fluid continuum, as they say. And, you know, I have gay friends who, I mean, like, you're not even going to know they're gay unless you see them having sex with a man. You know, it's just like,
right.
They're very, very masculine. There are some people like me who I'm just like, you can just tell.
Fuck it.
You know, I mean, it's not about even fuck it. It's just, you know, it's just... You can just tell. And I've never been like, I wouldn't call myself like a huge flaming gay guy, but I can be if I want to. But I'm not like super butch, so people just kind of knew that I was. So plus I was like in all the musicals in high school, and I was like in choir, so it wasn't that hard to figure out.
Glee before Glee.
Yeah, exactly.
Like my brother, bro, he wasn't a full-on flaming guy either. At my house, he's like 6'1", Latino guy. I know he was gay. I knew he was gay, like, from the get-go, dog. But didn't I just thought he was changing slowly, you know?
Gradually.
Gradually. Mm-hmm. My friend would come out to me, brother, fucking gay, hot dog. I said, why? You suck a dick? I don't know what's going on.
Like know? The bad thing.
You know, but then little by little, you know, he came out later on. But I didn't know if he was flaming or not because, you know, I guess he was not flaming around us ever.
Yeah.
He was and then hanging around with thugs, and all his friends were shoplifters, professional.
Damn, never got caught.
And
it's a lot of gay thugs
out there.
Some,
I know that.
Trust me, I'm stumbling a lot of them.
And I've heard stories of him beating the shit out of dudes. Maybe they were gay, I don't know, but he beat the fuck out of them.
Well, I knew a dude in high school that did that.
But that was because of my dad, man. I guess my dad kind of knew, so my dad would always push him to go fight.
Was your dad like a typical Latino, like machismo?
Hell yeah, bro. He'll backslap me. Talking about this.
He'll fight his way out of it?
Hell yeah. You're going to cry like a man. Yeah, he was all crazy. He didn't even talk about it today, right? So when I found out my brother was actually like, you know, happily gay man. Mm-hmm. My brother Angel, you know, evil Angel.
This fool
found a photo of my brother dressed in drag.
Did he show everybody?
It was like fucking Fat Tuesday in New Orleans, dog. Brazil, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, letting it all go.
Letting it all out. And he was dressed with lipstick and all that.
Done up.
And then my brother, look at Fernando. Look at it. Check these motherfuckers out. They having fun.
Hater.
He didn't even say they were gay. He just having fucking fun, dog.
What was the night invite?
Because we're here in a house all shitty right now.
Damn.
They had no secrets, you know? Not even no weed, no party, nothing, dog.
Just Hestos.
So my brother got mad. My brother was getting more mad at the group, at the fun. You know, everybody's happy. They're all happy. And my brother goes, you know, I'm going to put in my dad's wallet.
What a dick.
What a dick, dog.
You didn't stop that fool?
Fuck, I did.
What?
I'm going to put it in my dad's lunchbox or something. Like, just to fuck with my dad. Like, maybe we'll get a car accident on the way home or something.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
So yeah, man. Good so times. Now you're an actor.
Now I guess
you do stand up comedy. Where'd you start at?
I started in SF. I started stand up in San Francisco, and I was going to college in Oregon. I was working for a theater company doing, I was a wardrobe dresser for theater. So I would be in charge of like fixing people's costumes and doing the quick changes backstage and all that.
You got fat, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, girl, you better stop eating. I can't keep sewing this thing every night. Okay.
That's a tough job, huh?
You got enough.
It was a tough job. And like, you gotta do like, the most exciting part was like, you gotta do a quick change like backstage, like during the play. So I remember like one time I had to like, fully change an actor, like complete from head to toe, like complete costume change in like 34 seconds. You kind of just like, yeah, it's great. It was a really awesome job. But
you ever had to tape a dress with somebody's fat back?
Oh, you sometimes gotta sew them, like they'll rip something off stage, and you like you're ready with like your needles like sort of like pinned to your pants with like thread
ready
all
to go.
Ready to go. You're like, all right, let's do this.
What happened to me, man?
All those years working as a sweatshop and a kid paid really well.
I came to a fitting one time, bro. I don't know, but I can measure myself right, so I gave it in. Came back to the set. It was fucking tight, bro. Tight. I just heard, oh, I'll fix it. They cut the back of the coat. They cut the pads, and they taped an elastic on it, bro.
Tight, dude.
Yeah, there's all these different tricks.
They're going to see the back of it.
But yeah, I was working up there doing that, and then one of the actors that I was in charge of dressing was basically just like, "You're funny. You should like do stand up. What are you doing here?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, I should do that. Yeah, you're right." So I left Oregon. I moved to San Francisco to just pursue comedy. So I was like working retail in SF and doing stand up all the time. So it became my thing because like I would like I worked like high end retail. I worked at like Neiman Marcus and like Dior. So I would sell like all this fancy shit. So I would be in my uniform, like, which is like a full-on suit. And after my shift, I would go to the open mics, like in a full suit. And all these people just like, the hell are you coming from? Like, my job. I just clocked out. So kind of, it became this thing where I was always like dressed up at the open mics in just a full-on suit. And then I did comedy in SF for like 6 years. And then I moved down here. And then that was 6 years ago.
You auditioned last Comic Standing?
I did, but I never got through. I never got through like the first audition round. They actually didn't like me at all.
Did they air it?
No, they didn't air me. I remember one year I was auditioning, and one of the judges who actually eventually did a guest spot on Superstore.
Oh shit!
Was like, I don't know. You just kind of
Natasha Leggero.
Yeah.
Oh, right, that's why she played a shoplifter on the show.
Yeah. I don't know if she remembers that she kind of like read me like on stage, but she probably doesn't. It doesn't matter. So I love her. She's great. She's great. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Listen. But I swear, man, I thought she passed me when I was there. Maybe I was just thrown off by everybody else passing me, but yeah. I thought they all passed me. Then on TV and what? Did they tape this after I left?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like, I didn't move to L.A. to act. I moved down here. I was like, I'm going to get my half-hour Comedy Central special. I want to get in all the clubs and start doing a lot of stand-up. And then my manager started pushing me to, like, audition for stuff. And I just started booking, all these small parts here and there. And, I started paying more than stand-up at the time. So I was like, well, I guess I'm doing this acting thing. And then I booked Superstore, and I'm just like, oh, okay. This is a different kind of money than doing, like, a feature spot at the Brea Improv. So I can pay my rent with this money, so let me just do this for a second then. So I'm still doing stand-up, but acting sort of has taken over. So
what was the first role you got?
The very first role I ever booked was a two-line tiny part on a show called Ground Floor on TBS with Brie Gahelin and Skylar. What's his name? Skylar? He's in, like, Pitch Perfect. That guy. That was the very first role I booked. But my scene was with this guy. I mean, he's I forgot. I'm blanking on his name. But he was in Scrubs. He was like a doctor in Scrubs.
Tim McKinley, tall guy, curly hair.
John C. McGinley. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he was on Platoon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been in everything. Like, he's a huge working actor, and he's very intimidating. So,
I have
like,
a bad feeling about this.
My scene was with him, so I was just like nervous as all hell, and I was just glad that he didn't kill me that day. So, and then I just started booking other small parts, and then Superstore came along. It's kind of
you auditioned for that.
Or they I did.
It to you.
No, they didn't hand that to me. I mean, like, I had to audition. I wish things just got handed to me at this point. Because auditioning is not fun. It's very difficult. I auditioned for it, and the character was originally written as a straight Latino guy, is what Mateo was originally written as, and then I was kind of looking at the script at the material they sent me. I was like, oh, this is something a shady queen would totally say. So I just kind of, I mean, like, this is some shady shit right here. What he's saying, that's something I would say. So I just played it like a shady queen, and they liked it. And I got a call back, and then I tested, and then I booked it, and that was 2 years ago. It's insane.
And third season coming up, right?
Yeah. We're doing our third season. We're going to go back in July, hopefully, if the writer's strike doesn't happen.
Right, the writer's strike.
Yeah. I think it might happen, but which means it'll just push our production back. But just give them what they want, studios. Give them what they want.
What do they want?
More money.
There's a long list
royalties
of
Hulu, right?
Yeah, royalties. I think for streaming rights. I think something to do with like their holding contracts for writing. I don't know. I'm not in the Writers Guild, so I can't speak to the specifics of that. But studios are making. I mean, they can afford it. Just give them a little piece of the pie, boo boo. Share that pie. Share that pie.
Beaks.
Yeah, come on. But yeah, man. I don't know. We love having you.
I love being on that show.
Give it up for Cody.
Give it up for Cody.
the first time you came on show, I was so excited because
me too, man. I was nervous.
You were nervous?
Yeah.
Oh no, you were great. You were great, and we were all cracking up with the break room scene. It was really funny, man.
I was nervous because I had read Fred Stoller's book.
I got you paranoid, dog.
Maybe we'll have you back. And because Fred Stoller is the guy that you know him, right?
I know.
He get off the phone on Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, okay.
Get off the phone, that guy. And everybody loves Raymond.
Yeah.
He plays Fred on Seinfeld, two episodes. He wears denim. So he was telling me that, because I was going to ask you also about your first role. You said you had two lines.
Two lines.
And then he was telling me, man, give some fresh Stoller, but the hardest lines are one line, huh?
The hardest line is that one line. I can't even remember that one line. Very difficult, those lines. I mean, that line.
I can't screw it up, man.
You got to kill it, dog. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, because I remember I was talking about on another show, and I said, yeah, man, they never show Fred Stoller's, they never show bloopers. The bloopers are for the stars of the show. There are no bloopers for guest stars. He's fucking fired.
That's true.
You were nervous for that scene?
Yeah. I was nervous. When we shot the pilot, the first scene I shot was a scene with America Ferrera, and I was nervous as fuck. I was really, and like my executive producer told me, like, you know, after we all wrapped, it's like, I could tell you were kind of nervous. I'm like, yeah, it's the biggest acting job I've ever booked. Like,
hell yeah.
You know, I'm not really an actor. Like, I did theater in high school. I acted in high school and in college. I started out as an acting major in college, but then my acting teacher told me that I was never going to make it.
It's worse, huh?
Yeah, he told me that I should probably switch my major to costume design because I was just not cut to be an actor.
Fucking dream killer.
So, yeah, I'm on like...
Who told you that, eh?
I know. It's usually a failed actor, too, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I'm on like, I wonder what he's up to now.
Teaching.
He's retired, thank God.
She's like Jay Masala, man, when he told me, I don't see you making it for another six. Another 6 years. I showed him, but it took 12.
Look at me now. It is nerve-wracking. You know, it's so different from doing stand-up. You know, we're used to, like, just sort of being on stage, and, like, if a joke falls flat, then we can move however we see fit and
We're not used to setting up a joke for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can just be... you know, I mean, like, if you fuck things up, it's all good. Move on to the next joke, and the audience is with you, and, you know, like, they're laughing, whatever. But it's very different when you're doing it on set. Like, you know, everybody has to be quiet. They can't be laughing. So you don't know if, like, the jokes are hitting. Are they hitting? You know, like, you won't know until the take is done. And you sometimes you're just,
you still,
like,
look, like, coming from a stand-up comedy background, you still, like, look around after your line to see if it was funny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm like,
oh, man.
After, like, sort of like in your peripheral, I'm just like, are the camera guys laughing? Are they liking this? Okay. I mean, we do a lot of improvising on Superstore. So, I mean, it's actually like we try and make each other break sometimes to the annoyance of the directors and our crew, because we're always kind of, you know, like trying to make each other laugh. But yeah, but it's such a different process from having to do stand-up. So you're just kind of like, it was definitely like hard to sort of switch gears and get used to that that process. Because, you know, stand-up, you're just like, am I doing good? Okay, they're laughing. Yeah. I've done my job. Great. I don't got to think about this shit no more.
This show has probably the funniest background people I've ever seen in any sitcom.
It's so, I love everybody in that show.
The, like, background people are funnier in Seinfeld, you know, the old lady, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, but nah, man, this show, man. No, every time you see the old lady, you want to die.
Myrtle. I love Myrtle. I love Brett. Brett, the Japanese guy who doesn't talk. He's amazing. So funny. Yeah, but it's a great show. We're all really proud of it. It's not one of those jobs that you book that you're just like, oh, you don't gotta watch that. You know, like I'm on screen for like 2 seconds, or, you know, it's not that good of a show. But this show, every time I'm just like, no, watch it. It's good. It's really good.
We
so.
Laugh at it on paper.
What?
We laugh at it on paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's funny when on
just,
paper.
When you read the script, every time I get my script in the email, I'm just like cracking up.
I felt like that when I got my pilot, bro. when I wrote the pilot, I said, okay, I'm waiting to laugh here. But I did laugh. But yeah, but the lines on Superstore are hilarious.
Mm-hmm. It's a good crew all around. Writers, the
so you have your own chef now at the your personal chef now.
My own personal Superstore. Chef. I'm making that kind of money. That's like season 10 Big Bang Theory kind of money. We ain't there yet. I would like to be, knock on wood. But, you know, it's weird going from being a broke stand-up comedian, like
doing the Rex Navarrete.
Oh, my God. I mean, Rex is a super good friend of mine. And, you know, like, I would go up, like, I remember, like, going up to, like, Tommy T's to feature for him, because I needed to make that, however, $250 they were paying me, because I'm like, I got to pay my fucking electric bill. I don't. So hell, I was, yeah, like, dog. I'm like, I'm $100 overdrawn. And I gotta drive myself up to all the way to like Pleasanton
with Tommy T in his shorts.
So then I'll make about $100 paying for gas and the deficit in my bank account. But I need that $100. So it's weird coming from that to all of a sudden be like, Gucci shoes, what's up? Yeah, I'll take two. Thank you.
Good morning, Nicole.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Now you're shopping at Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy T's, man, featuring. Just getting paid by the club is tough. Yeah. I think he pays a whole $100, bro. 75.
I love the feature spot to me is the sweetest spot. You can just do like half an hour, get in, get out. You don't have the pressure of headlining, but you don't have also the pressure of hosting and opening the show. It's like a sweet spot, right?
Could.
Pay's not that great, but whatever. But I do like featuring. I'm going to do a shameless plug. I'm headlining.
Yes,
I'm headlining April 23rd at the Irvine Improv.
What's up, fool?
Hell yeah.
This Sunday, Marcella's going to come with me. Miss Marcella Aguayo. She's featuring. So
tight.
I love that bitch.
Did you ever do the NECA, the college gigs?
I did, but you know what? I never got anything out of it.
Bam, me too.
Yeah,
I always meet comedians who didn't get anything. And I feel like I'm not alone. Not my fault.
No.
My stupid ass agent must have overpriced me or something.
We need $1 million for this guy.
Yeah, my friend stole him nothing, bro. Because he said women schmemen.
Who got offended at that, dude?
I don't know.
Old Jewish lady? No way.
Princeton.
Don't say that.
So now are they throwing a lot of headlining gigs?
Yeah, you what? Me?
Are they throwing you a lot of headlining
gigs?
You
know what? Agent? Not particularly. You know, stand-up hasn't picked up as much as I thought it would. But also, my schedule is a little tough. You know, like, I'm working 8 months out of the year. And then
good for you.
We do have breaks in between, like, every four episodes, we take about a week break. But, you know, I usually spend that week not necessarily working the road. I'll, you know, be catching up on all the personal shit. I need to be, like, errands. And, you know, I find myself, I haven't done laundry in 3 weeks. You know, like, shit like that. But it hasn't, I thought, you know, I mean, like, before, you know, you were in this mindset of, like, the minute you get on that one TV credit, you're just like, oh, I'm going to be selling out arenas at this point. It doesn't really work that way.
Well, I thought too.
Yeah. But it is.
I said selling out arenas.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess you're going to be on Friday after next, and next Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Epps sold out, like, 7,500 seats at the NRG Arena.
And Houston, two shows.
In Houston.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And he's never been in no sitcom. Give me some Mike Epps.
Yeah, no sit. I did have Uncle Buck, though.
How long was it on for?
For 2 days.
He said that on stage. His sitcom, Mike Epps' sitcom, was on for 2 days.
That was it? They filmed right across from us on the lot. So I got to see that set. It was a fun set.
How excited were you when they picked up season three?
Oh, we were like over the moon because we were told that we probably wouldn't find out till May.
Yes,
if we were gonna be if we were gonna get picked up or not. So everybody was really sort of optimistic because it had been doing well ratings wise, and the network seemed to love us. But we were told we were gonna find out till May, and then like Valentine's Day, we walk into the table read, and the entire like. All these execs from NBC Universal were there who we haven't seen in a while. So we're like, ooh, this is going to be a really good table read or a really bad table read. So buckle up, bitches. So we did the table read. And then Jen Salke, the president over at NBC Universal, who is amazing and lovely and I love her so much, officially gave us the news that we would love to pick you guys up for season three. And they went ahead and ordered 22 episodes right off the bat instead of the 13. So we don't got to even wait for the back nine. So you know what? We really happy about that.
And because you started off on season one with only 10, huh?
They ordered 13 for season one, and then they reduced it to 11. And then we're all like,
whoa, like, I'm nervous.
You know, they ordered to series and then they reduced to order. Usually when that happens, it's not good news.
Chop and block.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for the series. So we were really like I wasn't working that day on set when they got that news. I had to find out through text that happened. So I was just like, mother, okay, good thing I'm saving this money. I can still afford my rent for a few more months. That's good. But yeah, you never know in this business. There are no guarantees. So
how did you feel when you saw your first check?
well, the first check for the pilot, I was not prepared for how much Uncle Sam took a bite out of the pie. Let me tell you that much, because
25% probably.
Well, listen, I was all paying commissions, obviously, to your reps. And then, I think I only got like 17 or 18% of my paycheck. I mean, it was a huge chunk that was taken out because I guess they explained it to me. I guess the government thinks that you're making that much like per week. So they just took it all. I got like a lot of it back when I got my tax return.
Oh, right on.
But, because I was all like, ooh, I'm going to pay some bills. I'm going to buy some new shoes. I need a new computer. I've been holding off of buying a new computer for quite some time. I'm going to get a new MacBook Pro. It's going to be so shiny. The biggest screen, retina screen. It's going to be great. And then I got that check. I was like, I called my day job at the restaurant. I'm going to need to pick up a couple of shifts next week. If y'all could hold off on that resignation that I'll told you. I was just kidding. I like this job. Let me work a couple more shifts next week, please. So yeah, I kept my day job. I was a host at a restaurant. I was after we filmed the pilot, I kept it for like another couple of months until we were waiting to hear if we were gonna get picked up or not. So yeah.
So now you're incorporating yourself?
Now I'm incorporated.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that makes a world of difference.
It does, huh?
It does, but also, when you pay that tax bill, at the end of the year. Oh, that is a big tax bill.
You'll be like, damn, I can see why white people are angry.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes sense that, like, this is why people are physically Republican, a lot of them. But you know, it's really like... Yeah, exactly. So the thing, that's the thing. It's just like you're just used to. I was used to getting a regular paycheck where they just take that shit out.
FICA.
You don't gotta think about it. And this, you know, this when you're incorporated, they don't take that out until one big check at the end of the year. And you know, it all adds up. It all adds up.
That's how I felt with the first time. Oh, no, the second time I had a TV credit for comedy, it was supposed to be like $1,100. And then when I filled out the AFTRA bullshit stuff. The person of Comedy Central, so just to let you know that the whole check is going to go to AFTRA. Fool, I almost choked that lady, dog.
Oh my God.
What are you talking
yeah.
about, man?
They got fees.
So you're not going to pay me to do this fucking show.
Yeah. That's exactly right? what happened to me.
And they said no, because you did a show for comedy for Showtime, and you got the whole check. You know,
mm-hmm.
but now you gotta pay union dues. Well, I never joined. No, you joined. You joined right now.
Exactly. Like, guess what? You remember the union.
You know who almost cried? Daryl Wright, because he didn't know nothing about this. He was walking with application the whole time, bro, not giving it to nobody. He was trying to get cash.
Yeah, the
show business, baby.
The acting job that I had right before Superstore, I had to join.
That's a lot of money.
The union. And I was like, what are you talking about? I gotta do what? And you know, I mean, like, that's like $4,000. I ain't got $4,000, not at that time. So I mean, thankfully I had a credit card that I just maxed out. I'm just like, I'm probably gonna be paying this off for the rest of my life.
Oh, so you had to pay the SAG card immediately then, huh?
Yeah, I did.
No TF Hartley, whatever that's called.
Taft Hartley. Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened to me when I did a little movie and they gave me the whole check, whatever.
The first one?
The next one. I couldn't even get on the set to a joint SAG.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pay everything right there. That was everything I was going to make for that fucking movie, bro.
Yeah.
I was going to call Joe Diaz. Where you at?
Can't do nothing for you, Felipe.
They don't tell you these things, man. You think you're going to be money? Like, people, they see people on television. Oh, man, this fool's driving on Rolls Royce.
That's the thing. People really,
Stupid, man.
Have no concept of how our business really works. Like, strangers, my family, like my mom. I was in Mall Cop, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, and I had one scene or one, like, two scenes, but you know, it was a very small part, and my mom was just like, oh my gosh, you're in the movies now. How much are you getting paid? What, $50,000? $50,000 to do that? I'm like, for one scene As a glorified extra on Mall Cop 2, you think I'm getting paid $50,000, mama? You out of your damn mind is what you is. $50,000? I wish. I would get out of this business after I cash that check.
They don't know, huh?
Hell no.
Oh, my God.
They think everybody's a millionaire, bro.
You're making millions of dollars.
How come you're sitting in Pavilion, bro?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Gotta pay that tax bill next quarter.
Yeah. I'm like, all this means, mom, is that I ain't got to ask your help for my credit card bills no more. That's all this means, is I can pay my own phone bill now. That's all this means.
That's funny, man. You're making $50,000. Yeah, in Filipino money.
Yeah, exactly. In pesos. It's like, it's not going to happen. I mean, like, listen, I would love to reach a point where that is, you know, if they just pay me like $100,000 for just farting on screen. Yeah, sure. I'd love to reach that point. But we ain't there yet, boo-boo. We ain't there yet.
Me too, man.
So. Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah.
So, what was the fan reaction when you and the manager hooked up on the Superstore, which surprised the hell out of me?
Well, people were willing to ship it. They were totally willing to ship it.
You guys went straight to that scene. Like, The Office took a while, huh?
Yeah, it took days.
It was sort of the last of the season when that guy actually hooked up with the senator.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, the
yeah, pull a lot of strings, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Push in the envelope, Raza.
People are upset because this last we just did that episode where not this last one, but the one before that, where I broke up with him, And people were really upset with me about that.
Yeah, man, that was hardcore.
Yeah, they were really upset with me. But I'm like, but you know, Mateo got to stay in the country. So he got to, you know, he can't let his manager slash boyfriend know that he undocumented. And Mateo always going to look out for Mateo. So sorry, not sorry, Jeff. You know, he's just looking out for himself. But I don't know. People, I think fans are going to be excited. I mean, there's only 3 episodes left. And they're all really. I mean, we got one scene.
Hell yeah!
We can't say nothing because
we can't say nothing. But we're in a scene together. The season finale.
Yes. Yeah. And for people who watch the show, if you guys thought that the season 1 finale was kind of a cliffhanger, that doesn't even compare as to what this season 2 finale is going to be like. They've really painted themselves into a corner, the writers have, and I don't know how they're going to get themselves out of this one.
This was a cliffhanger of all cliffhangers of any sitcom because they didn't know if the show was going to come back too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what it was. It was just like season 1.
I was sad,
1.
Man, because I was like watching what was going on in the show. I was like, wait. Could this be the actual finale?
You never know. That's it. You never know. I mean, by the time we sort of shoot these things, we still don't know. We haven't heard from the networks yet, you know, whether we're going to get picked up or not. So I think that's what happens at the end of each season. They're kind of just like, you have to go out with a bang and see if they can come back from this. So I'm excited. I'm really excited, you guys. It's going to be so great.
I could just imagine, man, because I remember winning last Comic Standing and I got the money. And then, of course, you know, I didn't get it all. Like, you don't know this, but I was my ex girlfriend filed for child support the next day. So she became the last baby mama standing. Old story on this podcast, but I like telling it to my friends.
She had to get paid.
So, damn, man. So, you were on Chelsea lately?
I was.
A regular?
I did the panel for about a year.
You toured with her?
I didn't. I just did the round table. And I did that like every month or so for about a year, and then I stopped all of a sudden. I don't know why. But it was weird because I was working as a host at a restaurant over at the LACMA, the museum out here in LA, and Chelsea herself would come in all the time to the museum, or people would recognize me from the show and be like, "Oh my God, what are you doing here?" I'm like, my day job.
Paying bills.
Exactly. I'm trying to pay my bills because we don't get paid that much doing your show, boo. So
it don't cover TV. The rent.
That shit was hot, though, for a minute.
It was. And again, I wasn't in the union then. So, like, I was not getting paid a lot of money to do those panels because I was non-union at the time. And it was just like, you know, I had to keep my day job. So it was a very humbling LA moment where people are just like, "Oh my God, I love you. You're so funny. Can you get us our menus? Thanks." Yes.
Be right back.
Yeah, be right back.
You're blowing up, bro. I see you on TV all the time. Yeah, bro. Let me tell you about cable, okay? Cable, you can watch it 100 times. I'm not going to get paid 100 times, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's true.
You get one time fee.
Yep. Yep.
Not even a green room at these places.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember I did a television show, man, for Showtime. And the dressing room, you're looking at it. Eh?
The hallway.
And as I looked around, even the women were dressing there, bro, the female comedians.
Damn.
It was the first I did a stand-up thing for Showtime. It was like a showcase.
Comedy Without Borders?
No, it was a gay showcase. It was called Pride Comedy Jam, and I got paid a whole lot of money, and by a whole lot of money, $200. Yeah,
ballin' over here,
ballin'. Let me get you that taco, boo. $200. But you know, I just moved to LA, and all of a sudden, it's like somebody's like, "You want to be on Showtime?" I'm like, "Yeah." Want me to take off my clothes? I'll do it right here. Yeah, and I was just like stupid, and I can't believe I said yes to it because I was like, it's exposure, whatever. It didn't really do much for my career at all, actually. But I was just like, you know, you as a comic, you're just like,
I was hungry for cash, bro.
Yeah.
I did BET's Comic View, and I think Gabriel did it too. And back then, I was only paying $150.
Damn.
I thought that was the lowest I could go, but then Comedy Time came around, bro. Paid me $25.
And a free T-shirt.
I've done shows before. I was so broke before. I've done shows where I knew I was just gonna get a free meal.
Oh hell,
you know what
dog.
I mean? I'm like, I gotta feed myself. Like, there's no pay, but I get free buffalo wings. Well, what time is it? I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna see you.
And I take shit to go.
Yeah, exactly.
When I did Russell Simmons' show, man, Kevin Hart was hosting it. They had no dressing rooms, but I had you know what they had for me? A limousine to me hang out in.
Tight.
I loved, like, when I was broken, I would just be working, you know, featuring or opening for somebody. I'd be like, yeah, you order your food, and then you're like, I'm going to order another one to go because I gotta feed myself the next day. I can't afford this shit right now.
Hell yeah, dude. You got to maneuver. Yeah,
I would go show up to gigs hungry, bro. Yeah. I remember flying into, like, to be somewhere for a whole week with no money, dude. Mm-hmm. That means if I was horrible, I'm stuck with no money.
Yeah.
I would get to the club, man, and I start ordering everything.
That was your only meal for the day?
Yeah, man.
Sometimes you'd work, and that was your only meal for the day, like, when you got to the club. Yeah.
And I used to hate going to – I would pick up clubs to go to, like, that pay a little bit of money, depending on what food it is. Improv, yes, always good food.
Hell yeah.
I'll be like Justin Rivera, bro, eating everything. You know Justin the Magician?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Those are my friends.
Like him, bro. Yeah. He would do that Edwin San Juan show.
Uh-huh. Slanted?
Slanted.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes, and I came in on him and goes, bro, you headlining? He goes, hell no, man. I just have a guest spot. Damn, bro.
Prime rib.
You know how to do it, Playboy. Yeah. He had just three appetizers. Mm-hmm. And his dinner was still coming.
Yeah.
And I saw him take a plate to go.
That's how you got to do what you got to do.
Hell yeah, dog.
And the way out, bro, silverware fell out of his pocket.
That's funny. You got all the improv silverware at your crib.
I remember I was doing shows out in New York one time, and thankfully I had was able to house sit for a friend of mine who was out of town. But I was doing some shows, and I wasn't going to see that paycheck till the end of that gig. So I was flat broke in New York City, and I had a budget of $5 a day to live off.
Damn.
In New York City. I'm just like, what the fuck are you going to do? So I ate off the halal carts every day, but five bucks is all I got. So I had to split that meal into two. I ate half of it for lunch, half of it for dinner. I lived off $5 a day in New York.
Nico Santos diet.
It can be done. It can be done. It can be done.
Wow.
Yeah. I did that for a month. Oui.
I don't know. I'm going to start snatching hot dogs, bro. Somebody.
I'll be continental breakfast at the local hotels.
I'm too fucking fat to eat $5 a month if I had to.
Uh-huh.
Could you?
I went on a date with a guy just because I knew he was going to feed me.
But I'll work it somehow.
Hey, have dinner first, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I got to eat before I eat you. So
I used to do a little trick in high school. Like for lunch, we'll go to Taco Bell, and they'll call our number, go ahead, grab the food, and take off.
I used to go to A&PM, bro, or 7-Eleven, and make those
the triple burgers.
The triple nachos. I would put nachos, bro, and then put a hot dog inside.
Cover it up.
Cover it up. Burger patty.
You'll work it somehow, dude.
Or A&PM two burger for 99 cents. Bullshit. Four patty for 99 cents. Horrible burgers, but still, it was horrible.
Oh yeah, that's horrible ass food, but still, it works.
Yeah, you gotta feed yourself.
Gotta have your show, man. $5 a day.
Yeah. Yep. Zach, that's right. F Rachel Ray. I got F $40 a day. I got $5 a day. You just go to the same place every single day.
Tip them a smile.
Yeah.
A little wink.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Man, $5 a day. What were you doing during performing?
Just yeah. I was performing. I had two gigs, like college gigs, and they were like about a month apart. And then my friend was like, my apartment's empty. Just stay there. And I couldn't pass that up. But then I realized, I'm like, oh shit, I don't have money to fucking enjoy New York City. So yeah, I would just be like going to open mics and whatever, and then eating at the halal carts. And then thankfully there's some awesome free stuff to do in New York, and go to the High Line and just go to Central Park. I had a lot of college friends there, but I love New York, man. It's been a while since I've been. I keep telling my friends I'm going to go back, but I'm busy, you know, it's hard, I'm working.
You should go back, man. Go ahead and land Gotham's.
I would love to. I would love to go back. I was planning to go back in May, but now I have some work stuff that I got to do. So it's like, again, work keeps getting in the way. But well, I'm going to make it out there one day. Soon.
Maybe. 8 months, bro, working.
Hell yeah, yeah, dude. That's what's up, dude.
But not going to be longer, right? Because you have 20 episodes in a row.
22.
So it'd be 22 weeks of work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It takes a week to shoot us a week.
Yeah, 5 days to shoot. And again, we get like a week break every 3 or 4 episodes. We'll take a week break, and then we get a long break during the like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's from about July till March, till beginning of March is usually when it is. So
you get along with everybody.
Everybody, it's insane. Like the entire cast, the entire crew. Like the writers, like the producers, it's one big happy family. And, you know, like people like America and Mark McKinney and Ben Feldman, who have been working the business a long time, are always quick to remind us that, like, just so you know, this is not normal, the fact that we work on a show where there isn't a single asshole on this set. Everybody gets along. It's such a joy. You know, like, I get to work like an hour early. Just because I like being there, it really is like it's such an awesome environment, and I just love being on that set. And we're really, really fortunate and lucky because I've heard horror stories from other friends who are working actors who are just like these people. I mean, like can't stand each other, and then you watch them on TV and they're playing like one big happy family, but in real life they want to kill each other. But for us, really, it's like we all love each other and. And it is like a happy, one big happy family.
Hopefully you make it to 100 episodes.
Listen, that's what we
syndication, what? Get us
awesome. That syndication money.
That's good money, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's what we want. That's what my mama wants. She's like, she keeps shopping for houses. I'm like, you gotta give me a couple more seasons before you start picking up your house, mama. I mean, right now, maybe I can afford you a manufactured home. But if you want like a house in the Hollywood Hills with a pool, that's going to take
a while.
That's going to take a little bit longer.
Longer.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you considered Porter Ranch?
Yeah.
Got my mama window shopping.
He's like, oh, let me buy you a trailer, mama. Let me buy you a trailer.
Have a lot of people who doubted you in the past. You know, comics doubt each other. Mm-hmm. This fool's not fucking funny. Gonna be shit.
Hate that fool.
Another come around going, I always saw it in you, Nico.
Remember that one time?
I saw it in you, man. Shit.
Tommy T's,
man, you came in shining.
This guy should be headlining.
That's what I love. I mean, like, I started stand up in San Francisco, and the San Francisco comedy community is really, really supportive. I mean, I don't know how it is now, but like when I was coming up, this was like 2000.
You're gonna headline me now, Molly, huh?
Yeah, this is like 2003, 2004. When did I start? 2004. Yeah, but almost 12 years ago, something like that. I'm bad at math. I'm not a kind of Asian. but anyway, yeah, it was a really, really supportive community. Like nobody was sort of, I mean, there was a couple of assholes, yeah, but then you kind of knew, just like, oh, this guy's whatever. But you know, the people I came up with are all kind of doing great things. I'm Ali Wong, Moshe Kasher, Mo Mandel, Hassan Minhaj, you know, Marcella. I mean, these are all people that we all kind of started with, and. It's just a really supportive community. It's very different from the LA scene. The LA scene has its own merits, but people here really do view you as competition when you walk into the comedy store or the improv, or you know, people always sizing you up. People don't know who you are, people, or what you do. So, and then you know, and then there's that bullshit here where like people find out you're on television, all of a sudden like, oh hey,
be on my podcast.
I love your shoes.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's the one thing about here that I'm just like, oh really? Because you was giving me this side eye like an hour ago, and now you heard my credits and you saw me, kill up on stage. Now I'm your best friend. Ugh.
Things change, homie.
Uh-huh. Are you trying to bump me now? Have you tried bumping people off shows? You should. You're in a sitcom. That's your rite of passage.
Ah, Lord. But see, that's the thing is, I'm not. Jews
and they're meant to go up now.
I don't have time to hang out at the comedy clubs that often. So, you know, like, I mostly do shows at the improv, the Hollywood Improv.
That's so Jimmy Walker was bullshitting, bro. He said that after every show of taping Good Time, he wouldn't go do a set at night. Mm. They no time, huh?
I mean, bless those. I mean, I've seen people do that, but like I don't know where they get the
energy. he probably could do it because he already was known as a comedian in the work in probably all the clubs already.
Yeah,
so he could just walk in and just kind of go up.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
He's not making $50,000 a year.
No, mama.
I thought you were making $100,000 an episode. No, mama.
Oh my god.
I wish.
My uncle straight up asked me if I was making like 150 G's per episode. I'm like,
god damn.
First of all, ain't none of your business. Second of all, no.
No. I would not go to the Philippines for a while, man.
That's what I said. Ain't none of your business, dog. Get out of here.
That's my money.
You have a big family in the Philippines?
I do. I still have some uncles and a bunch of cousins over in the Philippines. A lot of us are all spread out, though. I mean, most of them are living here in the United States now. I have some relatives in Australia.
Oh, damn.
You know, Filipinos, we all just kind of go all over.
You send them money?
I do. I send my nanny that I grew up with, my yaya.
Yaya.
Who had been in my family. Like, she had been taking care of me since I was like 6 months old up until I moved to the United States when I was 16. So she'd been in the family. I mean, she's like a second mom to me. So I send her some, you know.
A little envelope.
A little envelope. Something to live off on, you know. A little
something. Is she proud of you?
Yeah, she is. I mean, like,
super proud.
Everybody's kind of just like,
no, it was special.
Sort of surprised. Like, I mean, it's just, obviously, people were really supportive. I mean, my real mom is also very, very supportive. But I think, I mean, it surprises everybody, including myself, that I'm in this position. I never in a million years would have thought that when I left the Philippines and moved to the United States that I would be in this position of, you know, being in a network television show. That's insane. It's like a crazy dream that you thought would never happen, but it did. Yeah. So, you know. Thank you, baby Jesus. That's what you have to say. That's what my mom says. You have to thank baby Jesus for all your blessings. You have to thank him and ask for more blessings. If you don't ask baby Jesus, how will he know what to give you? You won't know until you ask. You have to ask that. You have to ask it. It's my mom. Every day. Every day.
You gotta ask, fool.
So that's what I was saying. Anybody out there, y'all want, you want something, you gotta ask baby Jesus. Listen to my mom. My mom's got a direct line to baby Jesus, so you know what? Just ask.
Fool.
Yeah, just ask.
This fool, dog.
I pray for rain again.
Yeah.
So you have a favorite Filipino restaurant? My mom's.
Well, yeah, my mom's. There is, you know, there's a bakery in the Philippines called Goldilocks, and they have a location here. I think it's called Leland now. They changed the name for whatever reason, but that shit is good. Just get the encimada with the
Boboli.
Jollibee. Oh, Jollibee's great. I know people love the Halen Jollibee, but I love that shit.
McDonald's trying to open up McDonald's in Philippines, but Jollibee still kicks their ass.
Jollibee is like is delicious. They got the bomb fried chicken, Chicken Joy, they call it.
Spaghetti with hot dog.
The spaghetti is delicious. Listen, Filipino spaghetti. I don't know if y'all have never had this, but Filipino spaghetti, the sauce is very sweet. Mm. There's hot dogs in it. And instead of Parmesan cheese, it's cheddar cheese. You know what? I know some of y'all are rolling your eyes and maybe gagging right now, but it is fucking delicious.
We have a lot of pot heads going. I eat that shit
oh
already.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. And also, the McDonald's in the Philippines actually got their own spaghetti, Mac Spaghetti. They do. They called Mac Spaghetti because they got to compete with Jolly.
They got to compete with Jolly, right?
Yeah, and they also came out with fried chicken in McDonald's in the Philippines because they got to compete with Jollibee. And it's served. They serve that fried chicken instead of a roll, or you have a choice of a roll or a side of white rice with your banana ketchup. Yeah,
banana ketchup.
Say Chicken Joy on
Chicken Joy. Chicken Joy. Yeah, Chicken Joy. It's trademarked. Jollibee trademarked that shit.
You get like the pasta with a weenie with a side of drumstick, bro.
It's so good. That combo was the best. And I remember, like, in the Philippines, when you were in school, whoever threw the party and had it catered by Jollibee was the coolest kid in school. See, Mark has a Jollibee catering for his birthday party. Oh, Chicken Joy, delicious.
Straight and spaghetti. Like Filipino prince, huh?
I used to work with Filipinos when I was like open micro. I was the security guard, and his name was Roy Manacap. And we were eating Pizza Hut, you know, two fat fools eating pizza. He goes, in the Philippines, only rich people eat pizza.
It is. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not a. I mean, it's different now. But it's like there's such a. You know, I don't know, like Filipinos just love food. There's just food everywhere. It's pretty amazing. Like some of the. I mean, they eat at every occasion. Balut is delicious. I don't eat the chick. I don't do that part.
Just the bread.
I like the broth that's in the.
You try that with
people? No.
Do you know what balut is?
I know what it is, but I've never tried it.
People don't know what it is.
You did it if it was in front of me. I don't care.
Yeah, it's a fertilized duck egg. And again, we're Filipino. We eat a lot of crazy shit. It's delicious, though.
Oh, that's balut. Yeah. I thought
it's the baby in the egg.
It's a duck egg, and it's fertilized.
Oh, that's right. There's a chick inside
there's
of it.
There's like
right?
A chick with like feet.
And they put it in the bread, huh?
You just down
it, right?
You just eat it.
Like an aphrodisiac.
Oh, because I saw something else where they get like a baby chick and they deep fry it and they put it in a bread.
I think that, I wouldn't be surprised if that's something we ate too. That's probably some street vendor who make that.
I want you to meet Auntie Bourdain.
Or
because I went to a place in the Philippines where they get like this real sweet bread. Mm-hmm. I guess, and they slice it in half, and they shove ice cream in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. That looks good. It's the original ice cream sandwich. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. For real, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they always get the street foods in the Philippines. They have a thing called, I think it's called Betamax. And I'm not sure if it's the intestines or the blood, the square blood. I forget. But, yeah, they got funky names. They could call it Betamax.
There's like
something that's like just a square of blood that they grill. I think that might be called Betamax.
Justin had chocolate fudge.
Yeah. And then like also like you know like chicken feet, they call it Adidas.
Adidas, yeah, because things.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So,
what's up, fool? Go check out Nico Santos April 23rd at the Irvine Improv.
Yeah,
headlining. With Marcella, and who else is there?
It's going to be me, Marcella, and then my friend Casey Lai is going to be hosting.
What's up, fool?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Where can they follow you at on social media?
You can follow me on Instagram and at Twitter at Nico Santos Comic. And Facebook, Nico Santos. And yeah.
And any other shows you have coming up besides that one?
I'm doing Irvine Improv April 23rd. I'm going to be in Portland for the Bridgetown Comedy Festival May 4th through the 7th. And tomorrow is a new episode of Superstore, 8 p.m. NBC. So check that out. We have 3 episodes left before the season ends.
And the season finale will be May 4th?
Yes.
Season finale?
So both me and you are going to be in it.
Hell yeah. What's up, fool? What you got coming up?
Check out my show at Riverside Romano's April 26th with Johnny Roque, myself, and Alfred Robles. 7:30 p.m. showtime. TheConcertLounge.com.
Yeah. The Concert Lounge.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
We'll be in the mix like 1986 with Felipe this weekend.
What's up, fool? Also, man, don't forget, man, to go pick up your Dollar Shave Club razors at Dollar Shave Clubs. DollarShaveClub.com/fool. DollarShaveClub.com/fool. So your face could be shining like Rodrigo's.
Oh, wait. I gotta give a shout-out to my barber, Eugene.
Hit him up,
Eugene.
Who works over at Cali Cuts on Melrose because he gets stopped all the time because people think he's you. Yeah.
I've seen that fool before.
Yeah.
Is he he's not as tall as Amon. He's a little shorter.
He's got longish curly hair too, but he's got full beard. But he's always just like, yeah, people always think I'm Felipe. I got stopped by an interview crew one time asking for an interview. And then they're like, oh, Felipe Esparza. Like, oh, nope, that's not me. But shout out to Eugene. Cuts my hair. He's awesome.
Shout out to Eugene, fool.
Yeah.
Check out the Yeah Man podcast,
people. This week, we're in Milwaukee, St. Louis with Mike Epps. Give us up, Mike Epps.
Can I have this book?
What's up, fool?
Keep shining, Nico. Thank you.
Bye.
Hell yeah.